These are the days of Elijah, declaring the word of the Lord. And these are the days of your servant Moses, righteousness being restored. And though these are days of great trials, of famine and darkness and sword, still we are the voice in the desert crying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet. The dry bones becoming as fresh. And these are the days of your servant David, rebuilding the temple of praise. And these are the days of the harvest. The fields are as white in your word. And we are the laborers in your vineyard, of the Lord. Behold, he comes riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and now in Zion's hill salvation comes. There's no God like Jehovah, there's no God like Jehovah. There is 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 no God like Jehovah. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun at the trumpet call. Lift your voice, it's the year of Jubilee, and God on Zion's hill salvation comes. Behold, he comes, riding on the clouds, shining like the sun. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes. Lift your voice. It's the year of Jubilee, and out of Zion's hill salvation comes.
Let's read together, shall we? Galatians 2. For I, through the law, am dead to the law, that I might live unto God. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me.
Alone, my hope is found. He is my life, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, firm through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights of love, what depths of peace, when fears are still. Thank you.
in Christ alone, who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I lay. There in the ground his body lay, light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave he rose again. And as he stands in victory, since curse has lost its grip on me, for I am his and he is mine, what with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to
underestimate your power and what you can do and what you want to do in our lives. We pray that we'll let that be free today. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.
I was excited when Russ made that announcement that Everett's going to provide steak and punch. I mean, Everett, that's amazing. I really appreciate that, the steak and punch. I like mine well done, though, just in case you want to know. So. How was your week this week? Mine was busy. The other day, I thought, man, it's Sunday again? Wasn't I just here a minute ago? It went so fast this week. I don't know why, but it was really fast. If you didn't make it yesterday at kayaking, you missed it. We had a lot of fun. Nobody got tipped in or anything, and it was a lot of fun. Randy was there, sheriff. He took control and made sure nobody got injured and helped us put the kayaks in and out, so we had a lot of fun. And Dawn was there, and Roxanne brought her granddaughter, so we had a lot of fun kayaking around. So if you want to come next time, make sure you get there in time. Some of you guys were late. You didn't make it, but we had a lot of fun. So we'll do it again. Maybe have some other activities as well coming up. So that was my wife's major in college, actually, was resource management recreation. So she has all kinds of things planned that I don't even know about yet. But, well, I'm sure they're going to be fun, whatever they are. The walking club's having a great time. So if you enjoy walking, then join that club. I mean, I walk to my car and back every day, so I figure I put in my miles and get a lot of stuff in that way. But if you don't do that, then join that walking club on Monday mornings. They have a lot of fun out there. I think Sharon and Gloria, you were there at one time, right? Or do you go there? Whatever it is. I don't know who all goes. She doesn't tell me. It's secret, I guess. Secret club. But I want to be in that. Well, secret societies are bad, so it's not secret. So we'll just change that to unknown people that go there. But if you want to go, let my wife know. So what's God been doing this week with you? kind of blessings he's been blessing you with? We share these because it encourages us what God's doing here.
You were talking about having a really busy week. I had one this week. My mother, who most of you know, she's going to be 98 in a few months, and she lives at Carriage Court in Hayward and really likes it there. And anyway, she fell this past Monday. So I got a call about 6:30 from my brother, Chet, and said, we need to get to the hospital. Mom fell, and we're not sure what kind of shape she's in. Anyway, we get there and find out she had fell backwards on the floor in the lobby of the Carriage Court, scared everybody to death there, knocked her out, hit her head on the floor, and just went back like a statue. She went to reach for something and took her hand off her rollator and fell. But the good news is, the praise I have today is that she didn't have anything wrong with her, just a small knot on the back of her head. They checked her from head to toe at the hospital, and they couldn't believe they put a neck brace on her in case she had broken bones. No broken bones, no brain bleed, anything, and she was just as sharp as she always is. We went to see her at the hospital and was in good spirits, and she said, the Lord took care of me, and he did.
Nice. Diane Roush had surgery this week, and everything went well with that, so we thank the Lord for that.
Every year, our conservation club sponsors a veterans hunt. That's coming up. I'll leave Thursday for that. So I would ask, we have 10 veterans that are disabled in some way, shape, or form, and they will be hunting up at our Knox property. So keep them in your prayers. One, that they're safe and God heals them, however, whatever's in God's plan for healing for them. And then two, maybe help them get a little lucky and maybe bring a deer home. So just praise to God and Jesus for the ability to participate with the veterans.
I don't usually like to do this, but last week was my birthday, and I have had so many blessings. It was amazing. I appreciate everybody here. Friday night, I got to be with all my family, which is, it's the thing that you wish for more than anything, is to be with everybody. My granddaughter was missing, but other than that, but we had such a great time, and God just has blessed us so much through all these years, and I appreciate this family, and I appreciate my family at home, too, and I just want to thank you all. There was a lot of greetings, and I really appreciate that, so thank you.
It was Sharon's birthday, too, which he tried to hide from us.
So many of you know that I ride horses. And I was at the stable this week, and this little girl that's about 3 1/2 looks at me like a grandmother, I think, because she every time she sees me, she tags me around. And so... we were talking, and she's asked me about caterpillars. And so I told her how caterpillars, they spin a cocoon, and they come out in the spring as a butterfly. And isn't that wonderful how God made that happen? And she said, what's God? We all need to be ready for those questions to come up, because it really took me off my feet. And reach out to those young people, because they're not being schooled like we were schooled, and they don't all have the opportunities that we've had to know God.
I just want to thank the Lord that I've been able to share 45 wonderful years with my hubby Steve. So I'm very blessed. He's a great man. So I just want to thank God for that.
Our friend Pam, that we've been asking prayer for, she has surgery tomorrow morning.
Okay. I told all of you about the journey that I'm on last week, and I just want to thank you all for your prayers. Everything's been going good for me. Part of that journey is a relationship that a better relationship that I would like to make with my kids. And today I have my son here with me, so that makes me really happy. And yesterday I was invited to watch my daughter cheer at the West Jeff football game. I hadn't seen her for a while, so that made me feel really good. So thank you.
Oh, we have a visitor. Her face is red now. I can do that now because she's, you know, Seth is here too. I'm guessing he's back. And how's school going? How you like being on the spot? Just feel like at college when your professors talk to you and things? I just want to, didn't want you to feel, you know, like you missed something, so.
I have praises that Alex had her last meet last night, or yesterday, and she actually finished a lot better than she thought she would.
Good. Good.
I talked to my cousin last night, and she is currently raising her four grandsons. They're ages 3 to 9, and she had a task force just reach out to her about her daughter. She is involved in human trafficking. They are trying to get her out of it. There is another gal who's fighting for her life in the hospital currently that tried to get out. So we were just praying that this week things can get done and they can get her out. And I just forget, too, just how much in Columbus and in Ohio in general, just how high that is going on in our right around us every day, right? So they keep these girls so drugged to where they can't get out. If they do, they, you know, leave them almost for dead or they kill them. So just her name is Brittany. Please pray that she can get out. Thank you.
Okay, let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for bringing us here this morning. Lord, you've heard all these different requests for freedom and for health and for deliverance. You've heard the praises, Lord, that you've done for helping with healing and relationships and all these different things for protection that you've done. And Lord, you know the needs that are out there. We pray for these needs specifically, Lord, as they've been mentioned. You know each and every one, so we pray that we keep them to our minds for Brittany and for different things that have been happening, for surgeries and ones that are coming up and ones that have been done. And Lord, for those that are struggling with knowing who you are, and for this little girl that said, who's God or what's God? And we just pray you'll be with Holly. Maybe that situation will come around again where she can have a little bit longer conversation with her. And thank you for being with each of us every day. Thanks for what you do for us, protecting us, preparing us, Lord, for your provision in our life physically, emotionally, spiritually, that you are with us. God, you know we're walking a path, Lord, that we don't know sometimes where we're going, but we know that you're at the end of it, and you're with us even as we travel down that road. So we'd ask you would be with us this morning, Lord, and the choirs they sing, and the message, and the offering, and all the things that you do for us. Help us, Lord, to be members of our community that contribute, and that we reach out, and we help, and we pray, and we are involved. So help us to be your examples, and we ask in your name. Amen. Johnny. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's an awesome verse, isn't it? You think about that. How often do we do that, though, is the question. How often do we give thanks to the Lord? And how often do we believe that his love really does endure forever? I think you should probably post that somewhere in your car or on the refrigerator or wherever, bathroom mirror. Just don't put it on the windshield of your car, because that might be a little dangerous. But part of the sermon I'm taking this morning is from Ajay Parakish. Just to let you know, give him credit, I took some of his stuff. I thought, why should I write it all again when he already did some good stuff? So I took some of it from him, and I used it. So, you know, sometimes we get busy and forget to thank God for what he's done. You know, think about your day, what you've gone through, where you've been, things that have happened to you, and you think, man, that was lucky. No, luck has nothing to do with it. You know, it's like God delivered you or helped you or blessed you for whatever that was. If it was a job you just were hired for that maybe you weren't sure of, or something that happened that you weren't expecting, that you were blessed by. But it's important to thank God for what he's done and have a thankful heart, because that shows him that we recognize that the blessings came from him. Right? It didn't just happen. It wasn't just a circumstance or a thing that just, you know, came about without us knowing about it, but he had it planned and he did it and he knew it was going to happen. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Luke 17. Familiar story that we're going to look at this morning. This is about being thankful and being unthankful, or lack of thankfulness. It's about the ten lepers. So in this passage, it talks about leprosy, which is the affliction that these guys have. It's a skin disease, and I looked up some of the things you can have from that. Your skin can turn white. You can get blisters, rashes, ulcers, feeling pins and needles, nerve damage. And I think in some cases, you can lose parts of your body, right, from having leprosy. It's infectious, it's contagious, and they had strict rules they had to observe. So if you're a leper, you had to have strict rules you had to observe. A person had to live outside the camp and away from everybody so you wouldn't spread the disease. So if we were in church this morning, there were somebody with leprosy at that time, then they'd be sitting outside away from everybody else. They couldn't be near anybody, no hugs, no handshakes, none of that stuff. If they had sores that went away, they had to go to the priest, and he had to examine them to say they were no longer contagious. Then he can come back and live with the community. So the priest had the final say whether they were still contagious or not. And if he said you're not contagious, they can come back. And if they are contagious, they had to stay away. So can you imagine what that was like? You could see everybody, but you couldn't be with them. You could yell to them maybe, but you could never touch anybody or anything else. We're going to read that passage this morning. It said, now it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there he met 10 men who were lepers who stood afar off. They lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. So when he saw them, he said to them, go show yourselves to the priests. And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned with a loud voice and glorified God, fell down on his face, at his feet, giving thanks to him. He was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed, but where are the 9? Were there not any who found who returned to give God glory, except this foreigner? And he said to him, arise, go your way, your faith has made you well. So these men were in a condition where they needed help, didn't they? There probably weren't any doctors or anybody else that were going to be able to help them, so they cried out to Jesus and said, Master, have mercy on us. Then I was thinking, well, why'd they call out to him? They must have heard that he had done things before. So his reputation went before him. And here's the thing that I thought was kind of neat. He didn't even have to go over to them, did he? He didn't have to go and touch them or do anything to them. He just said, go show yourself to the priests. And then it said, as they were going, wonderful things happened. Their skin became clean and free from leprosy. Don't we need help sometimes? And do we cry out to Jesus, or we just think, well, I'll be okay. I can make it through. It's going to be fine, or I don't know what else to do, but we need to cry out to him when we need the help, don't we? So you can imagine the joy they felt as they're going to see the priest, they're healed. But it said as they went, they had to go before it happened, didn't they? didn't say just sit there and I'll heal you and then you'll be fine. He said, go to the priest. And it says on their way, they were healed. But one man turned back and he praised God with a loud voice. And the thing was, we find out this guy's a Samaritan who the Jews and Samaritans didn't get along. They hated each other, basically. 10 were healed and one came back to say thanks. And he was a foreigner. He wasn't even part of that group necessarily. And Jesus said, rise and go, and your faith has made you well. How many times does God look after us and take care of our troubles and deliver us, and we fail to say thanks? Even simple things, little things that we don't think about that happen during the day. You know, you're cutting up an onion or an apple or something, and you almost cut your thumb. And you think, ooh, that was close, that was lucky. Or you do cut your thumb, but you don't cut it off. You could thank him for that, couldn't you? Thank you, God. I didn't cut my thumb off. I cut it, but I didn't cut it off. Right? We have situations that we think have to be perfect before we can thank God, but our lives aren't perfect. I mean, mine's not. Yours might be, but mine's not perfect. I have a lot of things I go through. Right? Like in the morning, you go, where'd that pimple come from? Why am I getting a pimple at 61 years old? You know, that kind of stuff. We're not perfect. We can say, thank God, it's not over my whole face. There's always something you can thank the Lord for that we don't always do. We just kind of neglect it and forget to say thanks to him for those things. But because of their leprosy, kind of a wonderful thing happened. They didn't remember that they were Jews and Samaritans, did they? They just knew they all had a problem. We all have leprosy. Dude, I don't care where you're from. You got leprosy, so do I. We're all in the same group, and we all need help in this situation. And they all came together for a common need, didn't they, in Christ? That they needed to be healed. It doesn't tell us how long they were there. We just know they're isolated from society. They weren't permitted to be part of the community. But these men waited for somebody to come and cure them. They needed healing. The question that we ask is, what's your need today? What kind of need do you have? And have you asked God for that need to help you? Or have you just said, yeah, I got this need, but I haven't told him? Right? Maybe you're saying, how am I going to make this car payment next month? Oh, my transmission went out. Now what am I going to do? Oh, my back's really been hurting me, but I don't know. Right? The job doesn't look good for the future. Do you tell God what that need is? I'm working too many hours. I need a break. There seems to be nobody to fill in, but I need somebody to help me. Do you tell him those things, or do you just say, well, it's, I don't know, I'm just going to let it go? We need to ask him, don't we? We need to ask him for that help. So they called out and said, Master, which in this case could mean chief commander. They knew Jesus was totally in command of disease and death and life, but they had to cry out to him. Right? It doesn't say anywhere in the Bible that Jesus read their minds, except when the priests and Pharisees were grumbling in their mind, right? But in this case, they had to cry out to him. They had to take a step of obedience themselves. But the main need that they had wasn't just their health, was it? It was their spiritual condition. And all of them went away except the one guy. All of them stayed distant except the one man. Only one came back to say thanks for being healed. He said, go show yourself to the priests. And when they found out they were healed, they probably went back to the priests. They were healed. They went to their families and never came back to say thank you to the Lord. But the one guy, before he went to the priest, he came back and said thank you, bowed down at his feet, shouted out, thank the Lord for healing me. And the distinction was he was a foreigner. He wasn't even from that group or that tribe. But he was one that wasn't liked, that was despised. I think the wonderful thing that you see about that is it wasn't just his body that was healed, but he says your faith has made you well. I think spiritually he was drawn closer to God than the other guys were. You know, often in life we want the miracle to happen whether we obey or not, don't we? God, I want you to do this and do this. We've been disobedient. We haven't prayed to him. We haven't talked to him, but yet we want this favor to happen. You know anybody like that in your life personally? That calls you and said, I need you to do this. They don't hear from him again until there's a need. It's not a very good relationship to have, is it? You feel a lot better when there's been communication before that. But these guys had to obey before the miracle happened. And the question is, when the miracle happens, do we give God the credit for it? When you almost got in that accident. When you had this sickness, but it didn't lead to death or whatever it was. When you had the operation, it was successful. Do you give God the praise and say, thank the Lord, he got me through this. He saved me. He kept me from being in this bad situation. These guys didn't realize they were living miracles now, weren't they? Because they didn't go to Dr. Schmetz or whatever they had to go to. They went to the Lord and he healed them. And they should have been going around telling people, you know, we met this guy Jesus over here. And he just said, go to the priest. And on the way, we were healed and our leprosy is gone. They should have been a witness for that because they were a miracle on legs, weren't they? Did they ever tell anybody else? We don't know. The one guy probably did because he was the one thankful and praised the Lord in a loud voice. But have you ever had a miracle happen in your life and thanked the Lord for it? Or have you just thought, ooh, I'm glad that was good. I'm glad I missed that. We talk about a lot of times our daughter that had whatever, I can't remember whatever sickness she had. Did they determine what that was called? Meningococcal. And they said, your daughter's not going to make it. She's basically going to die. So she took her to another doctor on the way. I told you before, I think probably years ago, but I don't remember, at a pastor's conference in Australia. And she was hours away, and we all prayed. She got to the next doctor, which was how long afterwards? A couple hours later, the same day, and it was gone. It went away. That was a miracle that God did. There's no way. They said, she's basically not going to make it. We prayed. She went to the next doctor, and it was gone. A miraculous thing that happened that you can't explain, right? No doctor did anything. Except said, she's not going to make, she's probably going to die, basically is what they said. And then when she got to the next doctor, they said, well, there's nothing here. We've heard that before with Sue's diagnosis, right? Doctor checked, well, we thought there was something there, but it's not there. Wow, it must have been some kind of a, you know, technical thing. I mean, they're like, no, this is what God did. It's not just a technical thing or a blip on your screen or whatever it was. God took that away, and we've heard that different times. And when we share those instances, we can see that God is still working today, right? That's why you share those things. Give them the glory. Thanks for doing this, Lord. You healed me. You protected me. You took this away, whatever it was. So we know that he did it. So we give God the credit for that. It just goes back to the same thing. You know, one man. There's 10 of them. But one guy came back, didn't he? It may take only one person to say something or share something. And the people you're around that don't believe in God to say, you know, God did this for me. And they'll say, really? Wow, I didn't know that. I don't even know about God. What do you know about God? We didn't really learn that because a lot of us growing up went to Sunday school, right? We heard all the stories, Noah and Jonah and all those different stories and David and Goliath. And today they'd be like, who? What band is that? Right? I have no idea. So we need to share those stories and keep that going like the Israelites did. They shared stories and passed them down. And a lot of times those stories aren't being passed down anymore. They don't know what they mean. And maybe you're that one man or woman or child or whatever it may be to share that story with somebody else. And in this case, the Samaritan was one that was despised by the Jews, but yet he was one who came back and worshiped and adored the Lord and said, you know, thanks. Thanks for healing me. But he didn't just get healed. He got a double blessing, didn't he? He got healed physically and spiritually. First ones, I think, only got healed physically. They didn't get the spiritual part of it. But he got the spiritual part as well, which is far more important than the physical, right? If you have an affliction, you never get healed physically. If you know the Lord, you're going to be healed spiritually, aren't you? You're going to get a new body anyway, right? New body. You're not going to, I don't know if you're going to look the same or not. I have no idea. You might be able to pick. I don't know. It doesn't say. It just says you're going to get a new body. You're going to be a new creation. Are we going to be floating around? I have no idea. But those things aren't important. The important thing is you're going to have a new body. You're not going to be suffering, no pain, no sorrow, no crying. All that stuff's going to be gone. No worries. You know, you're not going to be sitting here thinking, is he going to finish up? Because I got stuff in the oven. Not going to have any of that, are you? This won't matter. You're not going to gain weight. Isn't that going to be great? Not going to have limitations. We don't know all those answers, but we know it's going to be an amazing, spectacular thing that we're going to come to. A lot of times we think about our physical needs, don't we? What are you going to eat? What are you going to drink? What clothes are you going to wear? You're going to have temptation, but that's not going to happen in heaven. Saying thanks isn't very difficult. Can you say thanks for the air you're breathing? Some places don't have the air we have here. Go to some of these countries where these factories are just blowing all kinds of smoke and you're trying to live and breathe and things like that. And you get sick from things. You're living in a house that's got mold or rats or whatever it is. Think of all the blessings that you can be thankful for. Here's an illustration that I found. It says, one day a father of a very wealthy family took his son on a trip to a country where the firm purpose was to show him how poor people lived. They spent a couple of days and nights on the farm of what would be considered a very poor family. And on their return from the trip, the father asked his son, "How was the trip?" "It was great, Dad." "Did you see how the poor people live?" The father asked. "Oh, yeah," said the son. "So tell me, what did you learn from the trip?" The son said, "Well, I saw that we have one dog and they have four. We have a pool that reaches to the middle of our garden and they have a creek that has no end. We have imported lanterns in our garden and they have the stars at night. Our patio reaches to the front door and they have the whole horizon. We have a small piece of land to live on and they have fields that go on beyond our sight. We have servants who serve us, but they serve others. We buy our food, but they grow theirs. We have a fence around our property to protect us, and they have friends to protect them." The father was speechless. And then his son added, "Thanks, Dad, for showing me how poor people are." Isn't perspective wonderful? His dad saw one thing and he saw another, didn't he, from his eyes. To his dad, they were poor, and to his son, they were rich. So it doesn't necessarily matter where you live or what you have, but it's your perspective on a lot of those things that we look at. Think about how much we have to be thankful for. Sometimes we wonder these kind of questions. What restaurant are we going to eat at? When there's millions who wonder, where's my next meal going to come from? We try to choose which dress or suit or clothes we're going to wear while millions have only the clothes that they're wearing and none others. We gripe when we have to go to work while many don't have a job to get up for. Complain about our old jalopy car while many have to walk everywhere they go. It's not hard to thank God for the blessings when you start thinking about those blessings, is it? Your family, your friends, your food, your provision. What are you most thankful for this morning? A little boy was asked to say the blessing over a Thanksgiving meal, and he said, "Thank you, Lord, for the turkey, my mom, my dad, my TV, for loving us. And oh yeah, Lord, be sure to take care of yourself, because without you, we'd all be sunk." He got it right, didn't he? Without you, we would have nothing. We wouldn't have any of this at all. Before Jesus came to earth, mankind was contaminated with sin, but Jesus stepped in and took our place, didn't he? And gave us freedom. Too many people don't take the cross seriously or even know what it is or what it means besides something you wear around your neck. Here's an illustration that I found that seemed kind of interesting. It said, sometimes we're like that pig walking under the oak tree eating acorns and never looking up to see where they're coming from. Too many times we enjoy all the blessings the Father's given us and never acknowledge where they came from. Too busy looking down at what we have instead of looking up to see where it came from. So in our own lives, Jesus forgave our past sins, our future sins, and our present sins. We just need to make sure we confess those to him. He tore up that list of sins that we keep in our minds. We have this list that we keep. God just says, tear them up. They're gone. Get rid of them. They're not there anymore. You're forgiven. So yes, we have a lot to be thankful for, don't we? We should express it, not just on Thanksgiving Day, right? It can happen 365 days a year, not just one day a year. So let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this word this morning. Thank you for the example of the 10 lepers, Lord, that one was thankful and the rest is like most of society, unthankful, ungrateful. not worrying or knowing where things came from, not giving you honor and glory and praise for what you've done, but taking it for granted. So help us, Lord, to be men and women and kids to thank the Lord for what he's done for us, for the position he's given us, for salvation that he offers, for the things we have, and also ultimately, Lord, for being in heaven one day. So we thank you for who you are and what you've done in your name. Amen.
And would you stand with me this morning? I give all my service to you. I give all my service to you. I give all my service to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my service to you. I give all my worship. I give all my worship to you. I give all my worship to you. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my worship to you. Can we add this? I give all my future to you. I give all my future to you, no matter the cost. No matter the cost or what others do, I give all my future to you. Let's go out this week and serve the Lord. May the Lord bring us back next week. Thank you.